I'm Janet Nakano from MBA Podcaster, and I'm here with Peter Regan. He's a Tuck School of Business professor and founder of MBAMath.com. MBA Math is an online math preparatory class for soon-to-be first-year MBA students. It's for those of you who want to strengthen your quantitative skills before diving into those heavily quantitative courses that are prevalent in your first year of business school. Since all MBA programs expect you to have these skills when you arrive on campus, MBA Math makes sure you'd be well prepared from day one so you can hit the ground running. The course covers finance, microeconomics, statistics, and spreadsheets, with accounting coming soon. Peter will give us a look at MBA Math's online classes. We'll also hear from the assistant dean of the Tuck School of Business. He'll be discussing the benefits of preparing before arriving on campus. And we'll get some feedback from two former MBA Math students who are now in their first year in business school. Be sure to stay tuned to hear about an exclusive discount that MBA Math is offering to MBA Podcaster listeners. Or you can visit mbamath.com/podcast.htm. So Peter, you think that students who got accepted into an MBA program got in because they were qualified and had the skills necessary to succeed in the program. So why would someone need a service like MBA Math?
Well, not everyone does, in that a lot of students are well prepared before they would do something like MBA Math. But many students do need to think about the new process they're starting. The admissions that happen in the spring are the end of one process, but the beginning of another. And before students get ready for school, they need to keep in mind that everyone starts with the best of intentions, but we as professors and support people in the program offices of the business school programs know that many students fall behind from the beginning, especially with the quantitative courses, finance, economics, statistics, and accounting. There's so many mechanics and so much that has to be done there that students who aren't prepared have a lot of trouble there. The difficulty is compounded by a domino effect. Students who have trouble in one area end up having their efforts dragged down across all their areas. So you might have an economics problem, but it ends up becoming a strategy problem because so much time's going into economics that you're not able to keep yourself well prepared and contribute to your study groups and your other courses. So that's what we're trying to avoid. Traditionally, the schools put together summer reading packages. They have some or all of their students come to on-campus math camps. With the MBA Math program, it's an opportunity for students to start earlier and in a convenient, self-paced way work their way through the material in the areas where they have difficulty. That helps them hit the ground running when they arrive at their campus math camp, or if they don't do anything like that, when they arrive and start with their first-year courses. And if you think about who's in those business school classes, you might have engineers from Intel or financial analysts from Goldman Sachs. It's no wonder that some students need a boost before they can comfortably sit down in classes with students like that.
Listeners, the price of the MBA Math course is currently $119 for a one-year subscription. But if you're listening to this, you can get an exclusive discount on MBA Math services, including a course demo, by visiting mbamath.com/podcast.htm. And don't forget to add that .htm. Now let's hear from one of MBA Math's former students. Her name's Tumi Adebi. She graduated with a mechanical engineering degree at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. Tumi worked at Ford Motor Company as a manufacturing engineer, and she's now a first-year MBA student at the Tuck School of Business.
It's funny because I went through all the levels of calculus. As a mechanical engineer, we have to do strength analysis. We have a lot of statistics that we have to go through, even complicated math like Laplace transforms. I actually didn't think I needed MBA math, to be honest. Our school has online diagnostic exams, and what I realized is that I didn't have a background in financial math, and MBA math was really what helped me to overcome that obstacle that it was going to take to be successful in my MBA. So while working, I just set up a schedule. It was 2 hours each day during the week. When I came home, I would go online and I would just get on MBA Math, do a module. Once I completed it, I would move on to the next module. And going into my MBA, I just felt a lot more confident. I had the knowledge a lot of the terminology, even like net present value equations, perpetuity equations, knowing how to perform the analysis. And there were even times every once in a while, and we had textbooks, we had professors, we had TAs, but there were times when I went back to MBA math because there was something I remembered learning through the module that was just so clear. And I did very well in the courses that when I took the online diagnostics that covered that material that I didn't do so well before MBA math, like capital markets, for instance, ended up being one of the classes that I really enjoyed. And it was because you're going through pricing bonds, pricing options, and a lot of what you learn within MBA math is just the analysis that it takes to understand the concept. So while MBA math doesn't replace an MBA, it definitely allows you to start off at a higher ground.
Toomey talked about hopping online and working through modules. Peter, can you tell us more about the class and how it works?
Well, let me give you a little bit of a sketch here, but for anyone who's really interested in seeing the learning materials, there's a demo on the MBA math site that would let students walk through what the teaching materials look like and what the course would feel like if they were to go through it. But the basic themes are active problem solving and math in a business context. The course is broken up into areas. For instance, there's a finance area, there's a microeconomics area, statistics area, and accounting, and then spreadsheets run throughout the whole course. Within each area, there might be anywhere from 3 to 6 different topics that are addressed. And within any individual topic, there's a pre-quiz, so you can get a diagnostic of what your level is at the start. Based on that, you can dip into the teaching materials as needed. You can take drill exercises. And finally, you can end up with a post-quiz and see how much you've improved by doing that work. If you're a student, for instance, with familiarity with the topic, you might just go in and take the pre-quiz. If you do fairly well but you have some weaknesses, you might then just look at the detailed solutions, jog your memory about how that particular kind of problem is solved, and then maybe go straight to a post-quiz and find that, okay, now I understand. So that would be one very streamlined option. But most students, after the pre-quiz, have a little bit more learning than just looking at a couple of solutions. They might then go into the teaching materials and listen to a narrated lecture where they see slides that introduce the topics, show sample solutions, and really teach the material. For a student with no prior exposure, they would do it more or less the way we do it in class. Listen to the lecture, 5 to 15 minutes of me introducing material, then go in and do some drill exercises, see if they can figure out how to do things on their own, look at the solutions, and eventually move on to a post-quiz and see if they've internalized enough of the material that they can perform satisfactorily on that quiz.
What can students expect to master after they've completed the online course?
Okay, let's consider it one area at a time, and I can just mention some of the details on the topics that are in each one of the main areas. In finance, students become proficient with time value of money, annuities, perpetuities, bond basics, and net present value. If these terms mean nothing to someone listening to this, then they should take a closer look, because a lot of that material, particularly the time value of money basics, annuities, and perpetuities, is considered prerequisite material, and they're unlikely to see that treated in class. They'll just be directed to read a chapter in a book if they're not already familiar with it. In the microeconomics area, we go through in the course topics that address marginal analysis using tables, marginal analysis using calculus, which I know scares a lot of people, but is not that difficult, and almost everybody knew how to do it in high school, and finally move on to supply and demand. For statistics, we begin with the basic statistics that would be in any statistics course anyone's ever taken, mean, variance, and standard deviation. We then move on to linear combinations, which lets people develop stock portfolios. We also look at probability distributions, linear regression, and finally normal distributions, which is another way of saying the familiar bell curve. In accounting, I'll cover journal entries and financial statements. And then throughout all of that, we work on spreadsheets. There's one small topic that looks at spreadsheets directly, but mostly we just use spreadsheets to solve problems of almost every type that I just listed. And it's surprising how many people have used spreadsheets a little bit in their work, but don't know how to create one or do anything at all sophisticated. And it's a surprising cause of a lot of meltdowns during the first year, both in the decision science course that is pretty spreadsheet heavy, but also in finance and other areas that lean heavily on spreadsheets as a calculation tool. That list might seem pretty long, but for most students, 20 to 40 hours is enough for them to work through all the topics and come up to speed such that when they enter these materials or encounter these materials in their coursework, they've seen it before and they feel a decent level of confidence that they know what they're doing in that particular technique.
Can students progress at their own pace, or are they on a timeline?
Students work entirely at their own pace. The quiz exercises, all the quiz material, is stored centrally. So what you're doing is accessing the teaching materials, accessing the drill exercises using a browser over the web, and you can come back and forth into the quiz material whenever you like. So you can do individual quizzes at different times from different computers, from home or work, for instance, or you can go through and do several quizzes at a time. When you next come back in, you can pick up right where you left off. And you also can go through and have multiple quizzes open at a given time if you like. So you really can customize it to what you need to learn and when you want to learn it.
I'm curious what MBA schools think about what you're doing. What's been Tuck's response?
Well, at Tuck, the people have been great. Everyone there and elsewhere wants the students to arrive as prepared as possible. But in general, the schools themselves aren't able to put the effort and resources and focus into any particular tool that would serve just their own students. For faculty who know the teaching situation best, the specialization and incentives in their own work, balancing between teaching and research, is such that people teach live, but they don't really think too much about how technology could be brought to bear on a particular problem. In my case, I had the interest to try to go in and create a solution that would help the students earlier in the summer than when I saw them in the live math camp. The deans and administration gave me the opportunity. The students provided great feedback over the couple of years I was piloting it. And now, with students from about 20 MBA programs using the online course, I get great feedback, and I've reached a broader audience of schools, all of whom are working with this kind of a problem, and I'm able to have the communication and try to start broadening the focus of the course so that it serves as many schools as possible. In particular, Steve Lubrano at Tuck, who presided over the decisions and the work that I've done both with the math camp and with the online version, and was himself a first-year MBA student at Tuck, he can offer his own perspective on what the schools are looking for in this area.
Okay, so let's hear what Tuck's assistant dean has to say about MBA math. Here's Steve Lubrano.
Math camp has been around for years, going on 20 to 40 years of some version. I was a participant in math camp in 1985 when I was a first-year student at Tuck. At that point in time, every student went through the program. For 10 years prior to that, back in the 1970s, we did have specialized programs for a small number of students, not nearly as extensive as what we have now. So over the years, we quickly identified that the kind of candidate we were looking for at the Tuck School, the sort of leader we hoped to train through this program, was not necessarily the candidate who came with the most quantitative skills. So we devised a program that lasted about a week, wherein we would take what we affectionately call the poets and bring them up to speed on some of the skills that students who had experience in banking and consulting and other heavily quant-focused analytical jobs. And the goal was to not completely replicate that, but at least provide these students with familiarization with the nomenclature, with some of the concepts, so that they were bridging the gap between where they were and where some of these other students who had a couple of years under their belt were. We found Professor Regan, who graciously decided to teach this class, and he filled that need very successfully. The online program is perfect for what we do, largely because it enables students to be self-paced. We find students spend a lot of time working in areas where they need the greatest amount of work, revisiting areas as necessary. We found that students that participate in this hit the ground running a lot faster. They're familiar with the concepts. The whole notion of an MBA program is not to go over things you already know, but to take you from where you currently are and teach you more. MBA math exposes them to that. It teaches them the basics, and then they can take their learning to the levels that we expect of an MBA student.
So, Peter, there seems to be a need for certain students to bring their quantitative skills up to par when they start their MBA program. And it looks like your program addresses this problem head-on. We heard from one of your clients already, but have you gotten other feedback from MBA Math alumni?
I've received lots of positive feedback and great suggestions from the students. This is especially true as students from more schools use the course and give me feedback on what would best prepare them for their particular programs.
Let's hear from another MBA math client. Stefano Pardi is a first-year student at the London Business School. He did his undergraduate work at Lewis University in Rome. He studied business administration and economics with a focus on strategy and finance.
Even though I have studied a lot of math when I was at university and being used to crunch numbers when I was a controller and a consultant, I thought that it would be a good idea to refresh some of the topics, especially taking them from a more academic perspective before the beginning of the course. I learned about MBA math, and it seems to me to have all the characteristics I needed to prepare before the MBA. The results have been, to me, extremely useful because basically I was able to be already started on some topics like statistics. That is one of the first exams that we have to take at London Business School. And in the quantitative subjects, I would say that being prepared before the start of the program saved me a lot of time and gave me a good, solid basis on which to build.
And finally, Peter, when is the best time for an MBA applicant to go through your course?
The primary group are the admitted students who use the course during the summer. Now that they've gotten in, we want to try to make sure that they arrive on campus prepared. But I've also introduced an MBA math transcript so applicants can demonstrate to admissions committees that they've worked through this material and achieved a certain level of proficiency by highlighting the difference between their pre-quiz scores and their post-quiz scores and the amount of effort that they've put into the course. So I'm working with both students and with admissions committees to try to make sure that it's as transparent a communication channel as possible to let the admissions committee see what the students have learned. The idea is that the applicants can use the MBA math course to provide evidence that they've mastered the material or overcome what may be a weakness in their background that they can't do anything about at this point.
That was Peter Regan, founder of MBA Math. If you're interested in their services and want more information about an exclusive discount to MBA podcaster listeners, visit mbamath.com/podcast.htm. I'm Janet Nakano for MBA Podcaster. Thanks for listening.